you want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do? All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Golden State Media Concepts Health and Wellness Podcast. I'm your host, Pauline, and today I wanted to discuss something that affects a lot of us and that even in a way for me, it was kind of personal for me as well, and something that a lot of us may or we may ourselves be affected by directly and personally and in an intimate level, or someone close to us. Now, growing up, we go through different phases and we go through different points in our lives where certain things will affect us. And we, a lot of times we call them like traumatic events, like something will occur, an event, whether we cause it or it's an accident or it may be something totally out of our control that really has a lasting impression on us, that may last for years. It may last a lifetime. And then it may also translate into how we interact with one another or interact with others, interact with, or even how we allow people to interact with us. And so there's a variety of different things that can cause a traumatic experience. And then there are certain events that happen to us, or different things that we see or are a part of, whether we willingly want to be a part of it or not, that may affect us, for a short period, for like a phase. For an example, what I mean by that is, for me personally, I do not like, nor do I typically watch scary movies at all, like horror movies. I'm down for thrillers. I love some of like those, I like suspense movies. I like mystery movies, but very, very rarely do I watch something scary. And for me, an event that happened that really made me just, that affected me for a period, and sometimes it still affects me, I'm not going to lie, it was kind of traumatic in a way, but, and like, again, this is something on a very small, small scale that is almost kind of trivial. And I agree if you do feel that this is a trivial example, but I'm just giving an example that to show what I'm trying to explain. And so, for instance, for me, what it was, I think I might have been like a sophomore in high school, a freshman or sophomore in high school, and I was at my friend's house, and her family was a really good family. Her mom got along really well with my mom. We hung out, we played basketball together, we did the whole drop off, pick up type thing, spend the night at each other's house, all of that. And I think we started being friends in eighth grade through about sophomore year of high school. But anyway, so this had to have happened, I want to say like freshman year of my high school. So I was young. I was maybe 13, 14, 15 at the most. And her family, and mind you, I was spending the day with them and it was daylight outside, so it wasn't even nighttime, but they wanted to watch Emily Rose. Now, I had never seen The Exorcism of Emily Rose. I didn't want to see The Exorcism of Emily Rose. I did not care about it. I really didn't want to see it. But I think it was like her brother and her wanted to really watch it. And I was like, oh, I don't want to watch this and all of that. We went through that whole thing of, and by that time in my life, even though I was still a teenager, I had already known and was aware within myself that I do not like scary movies. And so I am the type of person where I had no problem telling people I don't watch scary movies. I don't partake in that. I don't go to scary, like I've been to maybe one haunted house when I was very, very young. And I just don't do it. I don't. And so I had told this friend and her family, I was like, I don't really want to watch it. you guys can watch it. I'll go hang out in her room and hang out. And they were like, oh no, like, it's okay. It's not that bad. We'll keep all the lights on. Everybody's home. And if it gets too scary for you, then we'll turn it off. But just try it. It might not be that scary, right? And so sometimes you do fall into peer pressure. And so in this particular time, I had said to them, I was like, okay, let's whatever, you know, type of a thing. And all of this, I kind of gave in. And then I don't even think that we watched maybe 10 minutes of the movie. But you know how they talk about everything happens at 3 a.m. and all the bad stuff happens at 3 a.m. And then once we got to that point, which I really honestly believe is like the first 10, 15 minutes, I couldn't have watched it more than a half an hour. But I was just like, nope, can't do it. I'm over it. I can't take this anymore. And so we cut it off. And then I ended up actually going home like shortly thereafter because I was really scared. It scared me. And so I didn't feel comfortable anymore. And I wanted to go home. I wanted my mom. I wanted to leave. Wanted to get it out of there. And then, of course, for the next couple of nights, it just seemed like I kept on waking up around 3 o'clock in the morning. And it would be like maybe 2:30, 3:07, and like for days after, I kept waking up around that same time. And I have no idea how that even happened. But I was just always like really nervous. And even now, like if I rustle at night and I glance at my clocks, I'm like, oh, what time is it? Is it time to wake up? Whatever. Like, you know how your internal clock sometimes makes you wake up. If it's any time around 3 a.m., I get a little nervous. I do. I really do. Like, I just do, because that was a traumatic event for me. And so some traumatic events, and now it doesn't affect me as much anymore, because now I'm so tired that a lot of times I'll just fall back asleep. And I've, through the years, I've gotten over it, and I haven't experienced, I haven't watched that movie ever again. So it's not fresh for me anymore. So some things that happen to us, some traumatic events that happen to us do get better with time. And sometimes we it lingers, but it's not as bad and as it was when it was fresh of an event and things like that. And so that's what I wanted to talk about, was that there are times in our lives where certain events or different phases, different feelings that we have are just phases, and they do eventually, like, they're very they affect us great dramatically, and they affect us very heavily at that time. But through the years and everything, we may still get a pang of hurt or some type of emotion that we feel when we think of that event and when we reminisce. But for some phases, we grow out of them. And there's always that whole, oh, they're teenagers, they're going through something because their hormones and everything, and they'll grow out of it. But then there are some things that really are not phases, that truly are not phases, and that do need added help and do need the support of those around us. And so today in this episode, I wanted to discuss helping and how to talk to and communicate with teens who are dealing with depression and anxiety. Because now depression and anxiety can be sometimes confused during our teenage years. Sometimes us adults, or even friends of teenagers, even at teenage time, we brush it off and we say, oh, they're just being lazy, or oh, they're just in a mood. And sometimes for young girls or teenage girls, we attribute it to them being on their cycle. And we're just like, oh, they're just PMSing, or oh, they're just moody right now. That's why she's so emotional, which in a way may play a part. And it does, because that's something that's happening within your body and physically, and on a chemical level, on a hormonal level. So that there is some truth to that. But like I said, there are some of us and some teens who face depression and anxiety at a graver scale. And it's not just a phase, because it is common to feel down. For instance, especially when you're in high school, if you get bad grades, or if you and your friend just got into an argument, it makes sense that you would be sad. It makes sense that you would feel really bad because something bad just happened. For instance, you, like I said, loss of friendship. For me, that always made me feel really, really sad. And I would get kind of, I would isolate myself when I was going through an argument or a disagreement or on the verge of losing a friendship, because my friends are very, very important to me. Or there may be things that, such as you're applying for college, teens are getting ready to, they're growing up and they're branching off, and they may not be receiving acceptance letters to colleges that they worked so hard to getting into. So they get really sad. And then, but then that might go away once they do get an acceptance letter to another college, or they're just really anxious because they realize that soon, you know, they may be on their own or they're going to be an adult now. And so this episode, when we come back from this quick break, I wanted to discuss ways to kind of equip ourselves when, communicating and wanting to help teens who are dealing with feelings of depression or maybe have been diagnosed with depression and anxiety. So keep it locked here. You are listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Health and Wellness Podcast. I'm Pauline, and I will be right back.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's GSMCpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Golden State Media Concepts Health and Wellness Podcast. So, like I said, this episode is dedicated to helping learn how to communicate with teens who may be suffering from depression and anxiety. So first off, I wanted to give some, which I think is very important, is learning some of like the signs and symptoms of a young person, a child or adolescent, whatever you may call them, a teenager, dealing with depression or having feelings, just feeling depressed. So some of the major and common factors would be sadness or hopelessness. They are more irritable and angry and sometimes will lash out. Whether that's just lashing out to if they have younger siblings or lashing out to their parents, a lack of enthusiasm and motivation. And this could be which translates to a loss of interest in a lot of their favorite activities or even friends. Poor school performance. That's a really big one. That's very, very common across the board, is recognizing a change in their school performance. Difficulty concentrating, they're always tired or have a lack of energy, like all you want to do is sleep, and but then you can't sleep, and which could sometimes, now when I went away for college, I was dealing with a lot of different situations that caused me to be really, really sad. I really was, and I personally went to go because like I said, when I get really, really sad, I tend to isolate myself. And so for me, I would want to sleep all day long when I was going through this period of tremendous sadness. And so all I wanted to do was sleep. But then I couldn't sleep at night because I was always so restless, and I was always playing out different scenarios in my head. And then I would also sometimes when you feel really sad or you're feeling really down, you start thinking of other things that make you sad and other things that put you down and other scenarios that may not even really be true, but to you, they're very, very true and very real. And so then I couldn't sleep at night. But then all day long because I'm so tired in the morning. I would sleep all day and I would miss a lot of my classes and I would miss and I actually failed a class because I never went to the class. And so, and then you feel bad and you feel sad because of that, because you're performing poorly and you're just not, and because I take my studies very seriously. So that was really, really difficult for me. And so those are some little things to, and indicators to be on the watch for. Cause like I said, some things are just because we are growing up and there's different teenage ups and bumps that we go through as you're growing up, but then other things may be more serious to look at. And especially when you spend time with a child or an adolescent, whether you're their parent or you're a teacher or just an older sibling, even, because my older sister, she's 11 years older than I am, so you may have a younger sibling that you're noticing some changes and you're noticing behavior changes or just how they act and interact with one another or with others or lack thereof if they're starting to isolate themselves. And so I wanted to discuss give some advice and some tips and some things that we can do and that you can do for those that you care about. And so one thing is to communicate with them and to when you communicate with a teen who, and this is just like, I guess in general, is you have to like be really prepared to listen. And that a lot of times, and if you think about when you were a teenager or when you were a young child, we always complain, would always say, my mom's not listening to me, you know, and you feel like you're not being heard. And so you have to, when communicating with a teen, who is that you feel is depressed or has been diagnosed with depression or is dealing with different anxieties, then you have to listen. And you have to be very, very careful to not, and this has to go from your body language all the way to the things that you're saying out of your mouth, because you can be saying, oh, I understand, but your body language is showing them or giving off the impression that you're judging them or you're being very critical or you're getting very uptight because you're not liking what they're sharing with you. And then that can cut off a means of communication and a means of communicating with that teen, and to just tell them that you are listening and being an active listener and be giving them your full attention and that you are just wanting to hear them out and that you want to just learn about them. And then being gentle but persistent. So if you are dealing with a teen who just doesn't want to talk about it at that time, it could be instead of just giving up and instead of just dismissing them and dismissing their feelings or dismissing your feeling that they are dealing with something at that time, being persistent, but being gentle. So for instance, if you realize that the last time you try to bring up the topic or ask them about themselves, that it's in the car on the way to karate or on the way to baseball and they don't want to talk about it at that time, then maybe next time trying at night, you know, during dinner or after dinner while you guys are washing the dishes together or while they're, you know, doing little chores. Or maybe you have to ask them when there's nobody else around. Maybe there was too many people in the car when you first wanted to address the topic. Or perhaps there is not a lot of people in the car, but there's one specific person in the car. And say, for instance, like if you're the mother and their dad is also in the car, maybe they don't want to open up and express certain feelings in front of their dad because they might be embarrassed or something like that. Or maybe their younger sibling was in the car or a cousin or a friend and they don't want to be open because the cousin or friend is in the car as well. And so you have to kind of maybe approach them at a time where it's just one-on-one. And so making sure that you're gentle but persistent and always being sure to acknowledge their feelings. And so, and one, this is something that I was told a long, long time ago that has always stuck with me because I thought it made a major impact with me. And I always like to share it. Like I always bring it up when talking about communicating with others, whether they're younger than you, whether they're a teenager, whether they're older than you, no matter what it may be. Maybe there's somebody who is your equal, a colleague of yours, but always, and this goes with acknowledging their feelings, there are things that somebody might share with you that to you seem like not that big of a deal. that seem, it's really not that important. Like, really, like, you might hear somebody, and I'll just use an example because we're discussing teens right now. Maybe a teenager is coming up and discussing with you. It's a girl and she's very, very heartbroken and distraught because her boyfriend just told her that he doesn't like her anymore. And to us, a lot of us who are older, we may look at that and say, you know, oh, it's not that big of a deal. You guys are young. You're only whatever, 16, 17 years old. There's plenty of other guys out there for you. You're too young to be falling in love anyways right now. Or you guys, that wasn't real love, yada, yada, yada. Right. And when you say things like that, you're dismissing their feelings and you're putting them down in a way also. And you're not validating their feelings. And the advice that I was given and that I try very, very hard to always keep at the forefront of my mind when communicating with others is that just because something is trivial to you doesn't mean that it's not a giant in somebody else's life. And that's very important when we're talking and communicating with others, when they're opening up to us and expressing their feelings to us, because they may be really struggling with something and something might be deeply affecting them that to us, we're just like, really? It's not that big of a deal, or you'll be over it, or, you know, like whatever it may be. And so because there's going to come a time where you're going to be going through something and you're going to open up to somebody else who has gone through that similar experience or whatever it may be. And your problem that's a major giant in your life that you're battling against is going to seem really trivial to somebody else. And we would feel very bad if somebody put us down. And so that's very important, especially when communicating and trying to get a teen who is dealing with these sad feelings and dealing with anxiety, is being very careful that we don't dismiss a giant in their life and recognizing and acknowledging the fact that that is a struggle for them, whether it is just grades or a relationship that is, you know, dissolving, or somebody, you know, whatever it may be, honestly, whatever it is. So-and-so, you know, they're part of a girl group of friends and they didn't tell them that on Friday, everybody is wearing this specific shirt or whatever. And so they feel left out and now they feel like they have no friends. And you want to tell them, you know, really, you have a lot of friends. You have a good life. You have so-and-so and all these other friends. And who cares about a shirt? It's just a shirt on Friday. Like, just wear it next Friday. It's not that big of a deal. But to them, it is a big deal. And it is, you know, as an adult, we might be thinking, really, you didn't have the specific purple shirt, so you feel bad. And it does seem trivial. And maybe later on in their life, they'll realize how trivial that is. Because that happens to a lot of us. We look back on situations that were so terrible to us and we think to ourselves, oh, it wasn't that big of a deal. Or we look back on past relationships that we were in and we say, oh, thank the Lord that we're not still dating that person that we broke up, right? But at that time, it was a really big deal. So I'm going to cut it to a quick break. And then when we come back, I have a few other tips to give you. And then, I just had a few other things that I wanted to share. So keep it locked here. You're listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Health and Wellness Podcast. This is Pauline, and I will be right back.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back, everyone. And you are listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Health and Wellness Podcast. Now, we are getting ready to wrap up this episode, but there were a few other things that I wanted to share before doing so. And so, and some of it is kind of, you may think is really obvious and simple, but for others, it may not be as obvious. And so, and that's what I really wanted to make sure that I addressed. And so, the other advice that I have is talking about real stuff. Now, and that may take some time to get there. Like I said, it may take a few, conversations that are a little bit more, shallow, for lack of a better word, just so that the teen that you are trying to get to open up to you feels comfortable and feels that they can trust you. And so, it may be mostly, you know, just talking like, hey, how was your day at school? Or, did you like that lunch that I made you? Or how did that test go? You know, how are you liking your new teachers? How are your friends doing? Or discussing the whatever movie that you guys have recently gone to see. But then that way, just to open up the fact that you guys, just to open up that line of communication. But then it's also very important to dive deeper and to talk about real things and to ask them, you know, if, and to be on alert for clues. Because if now, like, I'll use my brother as an example. He will, if you ask him how his day was, and he's a little bit better now, but he's just a guy that is very reserved, and he's very talkative and he's very open, but he is also, very introverted. He's more of an introvert than any of us, than the rest of us are. And we always say, like, he's an outgoing introvert because he's very kind and he's very nice, but he likes his own space and he likes his own self. He truly enjoys himself and his own quality time and things like that. But anyway, so when growing up, when you would ask him how his day was at school and you would ask him, how was your day today? He would say fine, because it was fine. And that's what you asked him. You asked him a question and he answered you. So then you would have to ask him more detailed questions or questions that were more open-ended that would cause him to open up and to cause him to discuss certain things with you. So then you would have to ask him, you know, how are your friends doing? How's Ibby? And try to remember their friends' names. You know, that's important to them. Their friends are very important to them. So it should be important to you to recognize their names and how, you know, the interweaving of different friends. You know, Shelly and Janae are really good friends and they live down the street, but I have math class with Matthew. You know, just trying to keep together as best as you can how everyone is interwoven together, because that shows that you're showing interest and that you actually care about the things that you tell them. You can't expect to ask these open-ended questions and they open up to you and they tell you things and then you dismiss, like in your mind you forget about it, and then the next time you ask them they might feel that you weren't paying attention. And what's the point of opening up to you, because you don't remember or care enough to remember what I told you last time, so why should I open up to you again? And so sometimes just asking open-ended questions, but digging deeper, you know, and asking them, you know, I haven't heard you talk about Matthew in a really long time. Are you guys still friends? Do you still have math class with him? You know, what happened? Do you guys not sit next to each other anymore? What happened with Matthew? How come you don't talk about Matthew anymore? Or you realize that a certain friend that used to come over all the time or that they used to hang out with a lot, they're not hanging out with them anymore. Ask them, like, you know, so-and-so hasn't been over by the house. Brad hasn't been over in a couple of weeks. You want to invite Brad over? Let's go out to eat with Brad. Why don't you call him or text him and let's go see a movie, something like that. And then listening to their reasons why they're not hanging out with Matthew, hanging out with Brad or Shelly anymore. But then also being aware, and this is kind of like delicate, and it's like one of those things where I'm telling you to dive deeper, but then I'm also going to say, you know, give them space, but pay attention. You know, like if they say that day, I don't want to talk about Matthew today, you know, maybe not bringing up Matthew for a little bit or at that time, because it could just be the wrong setting in which you asked about Matthew, and then resist getting angry. So that means if they tell you or confess to you something about a friend or about something that they engaged with a friend that they're feeling bad about, being very careful not to be angry, because you don't want them to feel that they have to lie to you or feel that you're always mad when they're honest. They may have a friend who is engaging in certain activities that you might not be agreeable with, but you can't tell them quickly and right away bad mouth their friend if they're being open, because they may just be asking you for help and asking you how to address the problem with their friend. And then also, for some instances, though, that they may be going through, and depending on the teen that you are trying to help, it may be that they truly need professional help. It may be more than just needing an outlet or opening up that conversation between yourself and that teen. They may really need to see a school counselor, a therapist, or even a doctor. And a lot of times, it's better with all things, the sooner the better. And so not trying to put it off, because perhaps they're not opening up to you, but you could see all these changes. They're not eating anymore. They're not coming out of their room anymore. They're not hanging out with their friends. They're not even wanting to spend time with family. Maybe they are an avid soccer player and they love going to play soccer, or love going out for jogs and running. And you realize that they haven't been engaging in any physical activity lately, and they haven't been wanting to go. And even if it's playing video games, now they may not play video games anymore. All they want to do is sleep, and they're not engaging anymore. And so there may be a time where you do need to get specific and professional help. It may be more than just the whole teenage ups and downs of life, and that they're just going through a phase, like we like to call them, phases. And so it may be time to get them professional help. And there's a lot of resources out there for therapists, as well as doctors and counselors, where you could go as a family, because maybe it's affecting the whole family, or it could be just for your child or your teenager, or it could be where you can do half and half, where you have some sessions that are for the family, because it may be affecting your younger children as well, them. And so it's for everyone to open up and have some time. And then speaking with a counselor or a professional, or there may be times where they just want to go and speak by themselves. And that's okay too. And you can't feel bad about them wanting to do something private and to have a discussion with a professional on their own. And so there are a lot of resources to give you help in how to engage with the teen and how to talk and communicate with them, as well as resources for professionals in your area. One, a way to start would be asking other parents, actually, truly, or asking the guidance counselor, the nurse, or even your pediatrician, and, you know, letting them know that you are aware and that you are concerned, and asking them. Or if you are a teenager and you are an adolescent or a young child, because there's no age limit on depression, unfortunately. There's no age limit on sadness. There's no age limit on anxiety. There's no age limit on feeling less than. It can happen very young. It can happen at the teenage stage. It can happen at the adult stage. And so if you are someone who is listening to this and you are feeling that you are dealing with more than just a phase, and that you feel that you are depressed, you can ask your doctor. You can talk to your doctor. You could talk to a trusted adult. Maybe perhaps you don't know where to get help. You don't know where to get started. And so you can talk to, if you are religious, you can discuss this with your pastor, with your rabbi. You may be able to ask, you know, there's a lot of resources, and even just Googling. Now, you have to take everything that you see on the internet with a grain of salt, yes, but there are ways to research different professionals in your area. And like I said, asking parents, because if you are asking parents of other teens who are maybe going through the same thing, they might have resources and outlets for you in your area. And it just has to do, because it's not just you dealing with a teenager or wanting to help and being, you're concerned about a teenager. There's others as well. And so just asking people around you, but being very, very careful not to divulge all of your teen's business to their best friend's mom, just because, you know what I'm saying? Just being careful of that, because you don't want them to feel that they trusted you with some information and you're just going to go blab it out to everyone, because then that might cause them to, you know, shut down and close in as well. But that's going to do it for this episode of the podcast. I feel like there's a lot of other things that I want to share on this topic. So in the future, I will be sure to do another revisit this topic as well. But like I said, you are listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Health and Wellness Podcast. You can listen to this episode as well as any future and previous episodes on our network website, that's gsmcpodcast.com, as well as on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. I will talk to you guys next time.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Health and Wellness Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.